So this year there are 8 candidates for the 3 at-large council seats here in Quincy, and we're pleased to introduce you to one of them on the program today. Andrew Pham is here to talk a little bit about himself, his background, why he's running, and how you might be able to support him. So Andrew, first, nice to meet you. Thanks for coming over.
Hello, hello. I'm excited to be here. This is a really cool space that I kind of knew existed, but now that I'm in it, it's very welcoming.
Well, thank you. We're happy to have you, and welcome you to come back as well and tell everybody about us.
For sure.
So it's really fortunate to have an access center like this. And part of our mission is to connect candidates with the community. So that's why we asked you to come in. So thank you for accepting that invitation. This is the first time you and I have met, right? So I'm assuming it's the first time for a lot of folks who are meeting you as well, listening to this conversation. So tell me a little bit about Andrew Pham.
Certainly. Andrew Pham, I was born and raised here in Quincy, Massachusetts. My parents immigrated here as Vietnamese boat people refugees, and my dad went to Quincy High School, and it gave confidence inside the public school system we have, so I naturally flowed through there, and I was shaped by the people, by the teacher, the students, and although I wasn't the middle of my class, I poured my heart and soul inside extracurriculars and community service. Mm-hmm. So I was involved in the JROTC program and
involved North Quincy High.
Exactly. Sure. Yes, yeah. And I was involved in Quincy Asian Resources, and through that I built a system of mentors that were my upperclassmen that kind of shed every bit of lessons learned that I carried with me through college to Bryant University, where I studied accounting, and through corporate America, and even at the federal level.
Really?
And that's basically me in a nutshell.
Okay, so you came through the Quincy Public Schools, and then went to Brown, you said?
Bryant.
Oh, Bryant
University.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Small school in Rhode Island.
Okay, and what degree did you earn?
Accounting and applied analytics.
Okay, and your professional background is what?
I'm a certified public accountant.
Oh, okay.
I started my career in internal controls at the Duncan corporate headquarters.
Oh, really? Oh.
And from there, I pivoted over to public accounting. Mm-hmm. So I was doing the tax seasons, preparing tax returns for large corporate clients at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Then I pivoted over to private companies, and although they weren't companies traded on the stock exchange, they were still very large private companies, and some of them are based here in Quincy. And from there, I pivoted again to learn more about the small businesses that are around Quincy, so mom and pop shops,
sure,
like restaurants and mechanics. And then there was an opportunity for me to serve. There was a stimulus passed by the previous administration to hire a new IRS agents. And they brought me aboard, and I was a cross-border activities agent, and I was auditing large multinational companies, making sure that they weren't being too cute with their taxes.
I see.
So
okay,
making sure that they're paying their fair share of whatever American profits there were, and encouraging them to voluntarily comply and pay the right amount.
Okay. So you have an extensive background in tax
law,
both,
yes,
public and private as well.
Yes, so it kind of gives me an appreciation for just the business owner to not only make enough money for themselves, but to cover their payroll.
Sure.
And all of that gets withheld from the federal level, and it gets passed down through the state filter. And then now, even so, it gets passed down to the local level, and primarily why I'm so intrigued by how our government works, and I want to be more involved.
Yeah, how would your background in tax law and being a CPA serve you on the city council here in Quincy?
Certainly, and I'll bring up my college professor who said accounting is the language of business.
Mm-hmm.
So it's helped me understand the different industries that I was exposed to at Pricewaterhouse, and even the cases that I worked on when I was an agent, and getting an appreciation for how hard it is. Through the past decade, I've been an accountant for 10 years, and it helped me be really I guess more appreciative of the numbers,
okay,
and be more analytical of everything I see. It's sharpened me to kind of ask the right questions and find the right facts that I could deliver for our city.
Sure. So as a councilor, then you'd be able to scrutinize the budget on a line-by-line level, I guess, and figure out maybe where there is excess or waste?
That's such a natural way to kind of, when you assume the position as an elected official, you kind of want to scrutinize and get the sound bites out. But I'm going to take my lessons from the current administration with DOGE and how they came in and they were trying to do so much. Mm. And they were trying to clean up the federal government. And it turns out all it did was it made federal employees way more nervous to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. And if I came in as a city councilor, the last thing I would want to do is scrutinize every little detail okay. of our city budget. And more so, I would actually sit down with our largest expenditures and try to just learn more about the jobs and learn more about why does it cost so much. So among our budget, we have public safety is a huge part of it. I've met some of our folks at the police department, and education is another spend, and I've sat down with our current teachers to learn more about their role.
Sure.
And so I wouldn't scrutinize line by line, maybe eventually.
Okay.
Eventually. All but right. I'd love to at least learn more about each department before I start scrutinizing.
So it brings up the question, Andrew, why are you running for city council?
I am running because I love my city, and I care about it a lot. I said earlier, the people of Quincy shaped me to be who I am. Mm. And it's everywhere I go, I'm always a proud South Shore kid.
Okay.
I let everyone know where I'm from. And with my collective experience from accounting, from very high level at private equity to even the operational level to the local restaurants here, to global companies around the world. Mm-hmm. That accounting experience is so valuable, and I think it's time someone in city government, our local government, has an accounting background that can be confident and give the people confidence in the numbers that we present.
Okay. How would you kind of assess, you know, the city's financial situation right now as it stands?
Based on my research so far, I know we've taken on a lot of debt, and you know, debt is normal. We need debt, and I know that we spent, I've spoken to door-knocked mm-hmm. a lot of residents, mm-hmm. and people are nervous about the debt that we've taken on, but I'm glad that it's going somewhere. We can see new development being built up around Quincy Center, mm-hmm. The new public safety building. So it's all getting put to somewhere.
You know, I asked you just to kind of assess the city's financial condition or situation, as it were, right now. So you talked about the debt. I think it's something like $1.5 billion.
$1.5 billion that we are, they are servicing the debt. They are paying down the debt.
Right.
It's higher than I haven't done extensive research, but what I do is I would at least compare it with other municipalities, mm-hmm. and not being in the seat yet, I haven't made it a priority to fully assess whether, you know, is Quincy in a good spot.
Okay.
I think right now I've been just reading our financials at a very high level and just enough to know that, you know, public safety and education are the biggest
ticket items in the city, right?
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
In the budget, at least, absolutely. Yes. Are there other priorities that you would have on the council?
Yes. The first priority would be making people feel that they are included and heard within our government again.
Okay.
Increasing town halls and making sure that they know what the city is spending on, and being part of the decisions that are being made in our city. And I think there were moments throughout the year where there were town halls, and I applaud those individuals that went out there to public speak and voice their concerns, but I'm a little disheartened because although they were speaking, I don't know if all of our counselors on there were listening. Mm-hmm. They're in the room, but if you vote fam, if I was up there, you can bet that I would look them in the eye and at least nod and listen and take down notes. There's a reason why someone is complaining or voicing their concerns to the city, And a lot of, some of the counselors get defensive and they take it as a as an attack on their current policies. But there's a reason why they're there, and they should feel heard.
Okay, so maybe you would hold your own type of community meetings?
1,000%, and okay. I would upgrade it to live stream.
Okay.
I think streaming is very popular nowadays. It's I would add that in and make sure, even if you're too camera shy, to show up there, to go on an open mic, then maybe you can field in some comments, and I'll have a team of moderators that can phrase it up for you.
Okay, all right. Just pick a few items from your website that you talked about that you felt were important.
Sure.
One was building a healthier Quincy, mentally and physically. What do you mean by that?
We are so fortunate in Quincy to have so much parks and recreation.
Sure.
So Quincy is a working class city. We work hard, and I think we play even harder. To expand on the mental and physical, it's more so making sure that our public spaces are welcoming and that people can go through them and see what upgrades can be made so that they could be fully utilized every day. So starting from the physical health, because I think that's the easier side of the paradigm to focus on, the physical health, just installing lights at night so that way, if the sun down doesn't mean that playtime is over. You can still play hard after work. Things that would be a simple installation.
Okay.
But from the mental health perspective, I'd like to at least welcome more mental health practitioners to practice here in Quincy. I drive around in Quincy and I see a lot of vacant office space. And can we work with the landlords to provide tax incentives to, hey, if you go out of your way as a landlord to bring more mental health professionals, that means more of our citizens can use those resources and of that your tenants offer.
Okay.
And that would be my mental and physical focus.
And you mentioned vacant storefronts. So do you have ideas for how to fill, other ideas to fill those storefronts, or at least to make sure the city has some control over those properties? It was an issue that came up not too long ago, as you know, right in Quincy Center on Hancock Street. The city actually ended up taking property by eminent domain and tearing it down because it sat vacant for over 20 years.
Yes. And I'd first like to know what the city have already tried to do to fill in those vacant spots. And secondly, I was studying other tax programs, particularly Vancouver, on how they handled this. And they proposed a vacancy tax. And taxes sound scary, but as a government, it could be a useful tool to incentivize progress. So in this case, if a storefront has been vacant for too long, thinking like 3 years plus, let's start taxing that landlord, and we're gonna build up a fund off of that vacancy tax, and then a proportion of that will be reserved for if they bring in a type of business that Quincy wants, that can be refunded back to the landlord.
I see.
So
as
it won't
an incentive.
Be, exactly.
Okay.
Call it an 80% haircut. I don't know.
Okay.
So something Quincy will take some. Quincy will win, but also it will incentivize the landlord to go out and do more work, put some more work, fill our storefronts, because an empty storefront does nothing for our city. It's it actually makes it look sadder. So we're trying to make our city look full and proud and beautiful.
Okay. Speaking of taxes, it's been brought up in the past, a residential tax exemption or abatement. How do you feel about a program like that?
I'm not here to cut or take away anything. If those programs have been around for ages, I know there are abatement programs for our senior citizens, for resources. I'm not looking to touch any of that. But I also want to look at the needs based of those applicants who are in those programs. And do they have a plan to contribute back to Quincy? If the city's giving you city abatements, then could you promise to allocate 10 hours to community service? Can you give back somehow to benefit the city? So I'm pro abatement, pro tax incentives,
okay.
But I do want to hold those people who are benefiting accountable.
Okay. When it comes to development, Andrew, how would you kind of describe yourself? Do you think that the city is on the right path when it comes to new development?
I honestly love what they're doing with the city.
Okay.
Like, North Quincy is beautiful. The Abbey, they've built it up, and I can't believe that I went to North Quincy and that used to be nothing. Mm-hmm. That was literally a parking lot, and now there's a Target. The McDonald's is still there. I love that McDonald's. But the Abbey's built up. The development, as I was door knocking, the biggest concern is that it brings an influx of people who are filling these apartments, which is good. More people in our cities. But what I'm fearful is that while the city's focused on providing housing, the playing, the eating, the other infrastructure gets left behind and forgotten. And honestly, that would be one of my priorities as we shift to the next centennial, mm-hmm. right? The first 400 years, we built up our city, made it safe. Now we're building housing. And now the next thing is to make sure that the people who fill up those developments have a place to escape to, have a place to go to, and thrive with their families.
Okay, all right. You talked a little bit about making the city more welcoming for everyone. So how would you go about doing that? I mean, do you feel that there are folks that it's not welcoming to right now?
I'm an outgoing guy, so people will be naturally welcoming to me if I show up to them and shake their hand. But as I attend the events, I do notice there is a common theme. And while Quincy is very diverse, I think 40% Asian, mm-hmm. I would like to see more of them come out from their hermit cells and try to be more involved inside the city.
Okay.
And that takes time. And the easiest way that I could probably begin to tackle that issue is start with the schools and start thinking and observing their inclusive programs, their DEI programs. Are they encouraging students to mingle? And if the students can mingle, the kids will play, then maybe the adults will start talking to each other and they'll start inviting each other to events. And that will be like a slow roll progress. But I certainly would want it to be more welcoming. I know some of my Asian friends, they show up to these and they show up to Quincy events and they do notice it to be very not them, mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. very catered to them. And although I can encourage them to put yourself out there, I want to make sure that they feel comfortable to be in our city.
So is it because of a language barrier? Do you think that's the primary hurdle that needs to be overcome? Can the city do better at communicating with the immigrant population?
I don't think it's much of a language barrier,
okay.
but it's more of a cultural barrier,
okay.
as in Asians do like to stick to themselves, stick to their own group, mm-hmm. and you know, and people like to point fingers and say that, you know, the majority is not including me. But I think we can also work with Quincy Asian Resources mm-hmm. to provide tools on just how to get new immigrants to be more confident in who they are and be less shy and go out and introduce themselves to Quincy. Because even as a first-time runner, mm-hmm. as an Asian man, I've been knocking on doors, and the person behind the door, they could have a Trump sign, they could have a Biden sign. They've all been very receptive to me. And I don't want to say it's like a race or language thing, but part of it is building more confidence in our people,
okay.
so that they can come out and realize how welcoming Quincy can be.
Okay. I've been asking all the candidates this question. Do you feel that Quincy taxpayers are getting good value for their tax dollar?
I am biased because my parents are Quincy taxpayers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and I went through the Quincy Public Schools,
yep.
and I've gotten my value out of it. So I want to say yes, that the average taxpayer has been getting value out of Quincy. Things in New England are just expensive. That's just how it is. But I'd be curious there was a woman in Ward 3 mm-hmm. that I was knocking on, and she proposed this idea of allocating a separate fund, maybe a nominal amount, maybe like $500,000, where the community has a say in what that $500,000 goes to, whether mm-hmm. it is more towards education or more public safety. I do think Quincy is doing a good job, but there are people who don't think that way. And something small like that, where you propose this fund, a community-based fund where they vote on, could alleviate and make the taxpayers who feel like they're not getting their money's worth out of Quincy's taxes feel like they are.
Okay, all right. Inevitably, one issue that comes up all the time is traffic. And traffic. As a councillor at large, you would be representing the entire city.
1,000%.
So do you have thoughts on ways to improve traffic flow throughout the city?
Yes, yes. And as someone who commutes to Boston, used to be by train, but now that I drive there, I very much understand the chokeholds, particularly the Neponset Bridge and that Furnace Brook Parkway Rotary. And there is another rotary in Hingham that has clearer marked lines where people can enter the rotary. I'd like to adopt something more similar to that, where maybe initiating a traffic study to identify where the chokeholds are. I can know off the top of my head, but I would certainly want to phrase it out to the community to see what other traffic points there are.
So sure.
More traffic studies.
Okay. You referenced door knocking several times. Are there other things folks have brought up that you wanted to talk about while you were out collecting your signatures?
So I start off with my door knocking, as in I asked them, what improvements do you have for the city?
Okay.
And a lot of people are very satisfied. They are very happy to be in our city, and the main concerns are traffic, and they kind of feel guilty telling me that, like, oh, yeah, the traffic in Quincy, but because there's not much you can really do about mm-hmm. it. It's just, I think the mayor even said it in his podcast that Quincy is a drive-through city. Mm-hmm. Like, people drive through Quincy to get to Boston to escape the traffic on the highway. So the traffic is the traffic, but I'm curious to learn more, again, about different parts.
Was that the number one issue that folks brought up?
Yeah, the traffic, because, well, that and the development,
yes,
which then again brings more traffic, yes. So then it upsets people even more. That was like maybe 70%, and the other 30%, I think, are more upset about how the city is spending their money on certain things.
Right. How do you feel about that, Andrew, the way the city is spending money on certain things? I know that there's been discussions about for instance, the statues or
the
parks,
the statues.
Or things of that nature. Yeah. So, do you have thoughts about that?
Yes. Yes. The statues have caused a lot of upheaval, and to the point where our own citizens are bringing a lawsuit against the city of Quincy to block it, and that's costing us more attorney fees. And we know lawyers can be expensive. But the biggest thing is that this decision has been made years ago, and the saddest part is that the statues already look finished. And that means the artist has already begun their work, they already took their time and materials, and we want to make sure that artist is compensated. And I proposed in one of my videos because I spent some time working with an art consulting firm, and I think honestly the best fix for this statue to make everyone happy is we got to sell those statues either to they're Catholic saints, right? Saint Michael, Saint Florian, and I don't particularly enjoy how the city has kind of polarized the people, where, like, if you're against the statues, that means you're against our police officers and fire safety. And that was kind of the wrong approach to put it. The people want a welcoming public safety building, and the statues that I've seen of St. Michael and St. Florian, I don't know if they're that welcoming. That St. Michael is kneeling on a demon, and it looks kind of scary. Councillor Mitten has vocally opposed it, and so if elected, I would actually work to try to sell those statues at a gain. There's other nonprofit organizations, or even the Catholic Church has a wide history of purchasing art, and this artwork, maybe someone else can recognize the beauty of it. But for this public safety building, I don't think it belongs on there. And instead, how about we save the $850,000? Let's put some nice facade lightings, because the building's gorgeous. It's huge. And they highlighted the grandeur of the building. If we put on some facade lightings, then we can make the building look illuminated at nighttime and look really nice. So I'm against the statues.
Okay.
I do not like the statues.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Another issue that came up when it comes to spending, the salary increases for the mayor and for the city councilors. So have you had a chance to think about how that process happened and where it goes from here?
Yes. And from my understanding, the city paid outside consultants to do a fair compensation study. And I'm pro-fair compensation.
Okay.
But that study was done in, I think, 2020 or around there. And times are different now. I think we weren't expecting so many federal cuts and layoffs occurring. And I am more disappointed in the council for actually passing the raises for themselves at a time when our people are in between jobs. They're applying for jobs, but they're not hearing back from jobs. Mm. And I will take a page out of Simon Sinek's book, Leaders Eat Last. And I think that needs to be echoed to our current leadership. Leaders eat last, and they can't be eating until our people are eating. And that'll be my stance on
the
raises.
Okay, all right. So if elected, then the proposed council's salary, I think it's like $44,000 a year or something like that. So do you feel that's an equitable salary for the job?
I'd give it back.
Okay.
I think that was part of the study that was done at a different time.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're at a totally different time and mm-hmm. place right now. And I'd actually, I have to applaud the council and leadership. They found the money. They found the money in the budget. Now, the question is it most useful to put it towards raises? Or can we turn those into internship programs?
Hmm.
For which departments that need the extra help. I think with everything going on with the new age of TikTok and social media, we want our kids off their phones and give them purpose in our society. And I think the best proponent, instead of giving raises to our politicians, let's see how we can funnel some of that money into meaningful positions that the youth can aspire, that they want to be part of. And it's a shame, because they polarize this too, as in, if you're against the raise, that means you're against the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I like our mayor. I love our mayor. The mayor has done a significant progress for our city. There's been bad mayors in this country that have been stealing from the city, but our mayor has done a great job of developing it and building out and creating a city that I'm thriving in, and that's why I'm running. But to be against the raise does not mean you're against Coke. It's more so reminding our elected officials that the honor is in the position, and leaders eat last.
Okay, all right. Going forward, Andrew, what does the campaign strategy look like for you? What's the plan?
Campaign strategy is getting the young to be out there and vote.
Ah, how do you do that?
That is very hard. And so there are a number of influencers with more than 10 million followers on YouTube and TikTok that have moved into our city. And I have begun reaching out to them and collaborating with them so that they can get excited about civic engagement and being more, to feel like they have a say in their own government.
Okay.
And it's just so that Quincy's a working class city. We, as the working class, we have to show up to our job and then we have to go home, we have to grocery shop, we have to go to the gym, and some people just don't have the time to be involved in local politics. And that used to be me. I used to be guilty of it. I used to not even show up for local elections until I realized that when there's so low little voter participation and there's so little people are showing up for local government, the voices of the people kind of get pushed off to the side and not representative anymore. And as I was in between jobs from getting fired from Doge, it kind of gave me the space to get more involved, to show up to more meetings and learn about our city a little bit more. So I guess that answers.
Yes, that's the strategy then, right? Getting young people to vote.
Okay. The strategy, yes.
There is a campaign website for you, yes?
Yes, fanforquincy.com.
Okay.
Fanforquincy. We're on Instagram. I'm slowly building out a team of volunteers to help me understand the algorithm. You know, as a 9-to-5 professional previously, or 9-to-9 when I was in tax season, I used to look at these social media influencers. I'm scrolling on the feed, and I'm like, how do they get so many views and so many likes? I guess, is it as easy as just showing up on a camera and just dancing? And turns out it's not. It's not. You could dance and lip sync to a song, but doesn't mean that the algorithm's going to push your content. And I'm slowly working with, again, those influencers and my cousins who are in that world to better understand the algorithm to push my campaign out.
Okay, all right. Anything else you'd like to share with folks right now?
Aside from I'm running because I care. I want what's best for the city. I'm not here to tear things down. I'm here to elevate it to new heights that our people didn't even know was possible. And over the last 10 years in accounting, I've built a whole life and career out of client service, and it comes back to service. I'm here to serve, and I've built a outstanding network of professionals and executives that I can certainly, with the right meetings and conversations, I think I can bring them to Quincy.
All right. Well, I appreciate you stopping by, sharing your story with us, and please come back.
Thank you. No, I should be thanking you guys, because as a first-time candidate, this helps a lot to push out my message. So I'm very thankful that Quincy even has QATV to push this out and help the cause.
Well, you're very welcome. And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano, and we'll see you next time.